The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. We're going to be reading to begin our message. We're going to begin reading at verse number 3 and read down to verse number 9, though we are going to be covering 31 verses of this chapter. I would ask you, if you would, in these next few minutes, would you be as still as possible, be as attentive as possible. If any way you can keep from coughing, if you got a cough. But if you would, please don't leave the service during the preaching. Be very attentive to what the Lord is going to say to us from His Word today. I'm going to preach His Word from Mark chapter 14 this morning. Would you look at the scripture there in your Bibles or on the screen? I'm going to read verses 3 down to verse number 9. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. That means they were mad, they were steamed, they were heated. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do to them, do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily or truly I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And 2,000 and some years later, we're talking about this woman again. Just like Jesus said here about what she did. Would you go back with me now and look at verse number 8? Verse number 8 says, she hath done what she could. She hath done. Jesus repeats that statement twice. He says in verse 9, in the latter part of the verse, she hath done. She hath done. So she hath done what she could. Now this morning in this portion of Scripture and other Scriptures in chapter 14, I want you to think about a person. I want you to see this person there on the screen. And you might ask the question, who is this person on the screen? Well, that person is you. And I have a question for you this morning. And the question is, what would you do? What would you do? Now, John chapter 14 is the longest chapter in the entire Gospel of Mark. It is a special chapter in the sense that in other chapters, we see what Jesus did. In this chapter, we see what people do to Jesus. Now keep that in mind. This chapter is focused on other people and what they do to Jesus. That's why I asked the question this morning, when you see all that these other people did, what would you do if you were in the same situation? Now look with me at Mark chapter 14. With this thought in mind, we're going to be looking at several different people and groups of people in these few verses. Number one, I want you to think with me about the hypocrites in verse 1 and 2. In verse number 1 and 2, we find religious hypocrites. Now, what did they do? Well, they did what they could. They did what they could to kill Him. They wanted to stop Jesus. They wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to silence Jesus. They wanted to be rid of this one called Jesus of Nazareth. Look at verse 1 and 2 in your Bible. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take Him by craft or craftiness and put Him to death. But they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Now, what did they do to Jesus? They did what they could. What was in their heart, they wanted to kill Him. Who is it wants to kill Jesus? The Jewish chief priest. Who is it wants to kill Jesus? The scribes. Who are the scribes? The ones who wrote out the Word of God. These are the ones who handled the things of God, lived amongst the things of God, professed the things of God, but they hated Jesus because Jesus exposed who they were. Hypocrites, play actors, those who wore masks, who professed to know God but did not know Him. And Jesus embarrassed them. Jesus called them out. Jesus spoke sternly to them. So first of all, we see in chapter 14, the hypocrites, they did what they could to kill Him. Number two, I want you to see our main thought this morning, and that is Mary. She did what she could. Now we're taking the words here of Jesus, she did what she could, and I want you to think with me, what was the big deal about what she did? Well, they were having a meal in a former leper's house, Simon the leper, who Jesus had healed and cleansed him of his leprosy. Because if he still had leprosy, you wouldn't be hanging around a leper. They would be quarantined. You would not be around him because leprosy was a contagious disease that you could catch from other people. So they're in Simon the former leper's house, and Mary of Bethany, she comes into the house with a jar, and in that jar she's got ointment that she had no doubt been saving up for and that she had purchased. It was very precious. It was spikenard. Everybody knew it was very special, very expensive, and the disciples even say it was worth 300 pence. Now you say, what is 300 pence? In today's dollars, 300 pence is 1 year's wages. Now, it depends on what the wage is, of course. But let's just take a median income for a person, about $35,000 median income in this country. This was a pretty expensive thing she had in this jar. And what did she do with it? Poured it out. How long did that take? Just a few seconds. A year's worth of spikenard. Years worth of salary. Years worth of money. Years worth... What could you do with all of that? The person is not named in the book of Mark, but if you read in the book of John, the Gospel of John, it tells us who it was that spoke up. His name was Judas Iscariot. Judas, what was his job with the disciples? He held the purse. And John tells us in the Gospel about this same story, Judas was a thief. Even though he was a disciple, even though he walked with Jesus, he was a thief and no doubt had been taking some from the offering or the money that he was entrusted to. Well, isn't it strange how some people, they always want to talk about, well, this could have been given to the poor. Why do churches, I've heard people say this, why do churches have these buildings and why do they take all of that money? They could just sell all that stuff and give it to the poor. Usually the people who are making those statements don't give to the poor. They are ones that do not give freely of their incomes. You know, it's embarrassing. Some of these politicians that talk about the poor so much and talk about giving so much, of course, they want to give our tax dollars. They don't want to give their money. To see what they give in a year's time to charitable contributions. And some of them give half of 1%, 2%, 3%, making millions of dollars, some of them. Oh, you need to watch out when you hear people always talking about the poor. Oh, we need to be thinking about the poor. That is true. But what are you doing about the poor? Judas, what were you doing about the poor? Now, I want you to notice that when one person speaks up and says something like that, well, we ought to be thinking about the poor. Do other people shake their head and say, you know, you got a good point there. Look at what it says in verse number 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and they had and been given to the poor, and they, not just the one, but now they murmured against her. It seems that even the disciples and the others in the house, they said, you know, this is a good point. This is a waste. Well, let's see what Jesus says about it. I like what Jesus says here. I believe Jesus said in verse number 6 these words. I think he said it pretty sternly. I think Jesus put a little bit of emphasis in what he said here. When he said in verse 6, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She's wrought a good work on me." You know, doesn't it feel good when somebody takes up for you? I remember years ago at football camp in the heat of August at Reinhardt College. Our football team was there for summer camp. Three sessions a day, skull sessions in the afternoon. We would get together and we would have team talks. And one of the team leaders, the quarterback of our team, said, "We're going to have a meeting this afternoon and the coaches are not going to be in the meeting. We got to get together. We're not gelling together as a team." Now, I had been saved for a little while, and in my room, I put in the dormitory room verses of Scripture on the wall. I had my Bible with me and was talking to my teammates about the Lord and what Jesus had done in my life. So here we're having a team meeting. And after the quarterback, the team leader, got through talking about us getting together, he said, "Does anybody want to say anything?" And I, trembling, scared, raised my hand and stood up. Had a lot of zeal back then, didn't have a lot of knowledge, but I stood up and I said, "You know, I believe if we would turn to God and we would ask God to help us." And about that time, he said, "Shut up, Queen." The quarterback, the team leader. "Shut up, Queen. We don't want to hear this TFC stuff," which was Teens for Christ, which was an organization I was a part of. "Shut up, Queen." Now, there was on our team a player that never said hardly anything. He was very quiet, laid back. He was lean, lean muscle. In the drills, you didn't want to hit this guy. In the drills, you didn't want to be tackled by this guy. He was well respected on the football team. When the quarterback, the team leader, said, "Shut up, Queen," this guy said, "You shut up. Let him talk." All of a sudden, I had boldness that I didn't have before. All of a sudden, I felt a surge of adrenaline, and it felt good that he stood up for me, and I was able to say a few more words. How do you think this woman felt as she is in the room? She's not spoke a word. Simon, all of his folks and his attendants and all the disciples and whoever else was there, she does this thing, and then somebody embarrasses her. Somebody speaks out and said, "You should not have done this. Why, you're not got your priorities in the proper order. This could have been given to the poor." And Jesus said, "You let her alone. You let her alone. Why are you troubling her? She hath wrought a good work on me." Y'all got the poor with you forever. You can do for the poor anytime you want, but I'm fixing to go away. I'm fixing to die for the sins of the world. She has come to anoint my body for the burial. And they're thinking, "What are you talking about? You're not dying, much less being buried." They didn't know what was going to happen in just a few hours, did they? But Jesus said these words, verse 8, "She hath done what she could." What do you mean, what she could? To honor him. The religious hypocrites, they did what they could to kill him. She did what she could to honor him. Would you do what she did? Take a year's salary, whatever you make. Doesn't matter if you make a lot or you make little. Whatever you make, that's a year's worth of work for you. Would you be willing to give that, pour it out on Jesus to honor him? It's a good question. It needs to be answered. Number three, I want you to continue on with me now. We see somebody else in the Scripture. Thirdly, I want you to notice Judas. Judas did what he could to betray him. Look down there at verse number 10. "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they, that's the chief priests, remember the hypocrites, when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he saw how he might conveniently betray him. So here we see somebody else doing something to Jesus. What the hypocrites wanted to do was kill him. The woman wanted to honor him. But now, one of his own disciples, after this episode of the spikenard being poured out, and he says, you know, we shouldn't have. Maybe he got offended that Jesus stood up for this woman. Maybe he got put in his spot. So then he says, I'm going to betray him. He goes and has this secret meeting, and they say, we'll give you so much money. And you know how this plays out. You know how it all happens. Well, let's move on. There's somebody else. Let's notice the disciples, Jesus' other disciples. Let's see what the disciples do here. This is the fourth thing. The disciples did what they could in verses 12 and 13. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? So, this particular day is the Passover. At the night time, remember, you eat the Passover meal. You have to kill a lamb. Has to be special preparation. You have to roast the lamb. You have to take the blood and do something with the blood on the doorpost, because this is the Passover that the Jews had to observe. So here they don't have a house. Disciples ask him, Jesus, what can we do for you to prepare for the Passover? In other words, they said, what can we do to serve you? So, they were interested in helping Jesus. They were interested in doing what they could to help. So, verse 13, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. So, these two disciples are now going to serve the Lord Jesus. And that brings us to the next thing I want you to notice with me as we hasten to a close. I want you to see number five, the good man. The good man did what he could to accommodate Jesus. Verse 13 down to verse 16. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, go into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. Men didn't carry water in the city. That was a woman's job. Now, don't get mad at me saying that. That was the custom in that day. Men did not do women's jobs, and women didn't do men's job. But yet Jesus said, you go into the city and you're going to see a man carrying water. You follow him to the house that he goes to, and then you speak to the owner of the house, called here the good man. Well, let's see what it says. Verse 14, and wheresoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And Jesus says, and he will show you a large upper room furnished. How does Jesus know all this stuff? Has he got ESP? Or has he got G-O-D? He is God. He is God in the flesh. And so he says it's going to be an upper room. It's going to be a big upper room. It's going to be a furnished upper room. There made ready for us. And his disciples went forth, came into the city, found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So the good man Though he didn't know when he woke up that morning what he was going to be asked to do, the good man did what he could to accommodate Jesus and his disciples. It's going to be in his upper room, the good man's upper room, where the first Passover with Jesus is done, the last Passover is done, and the first Lord's Supper is instituted. But that brings us now to the end. There's one more thing, and I want you to see, number 6, Jesus. Jesus is going to do what only He can do. Everybody else can do what they're going to do, but there's one thing He's about to do nobody else can do, nobody is qualified to do, nobody has offered to do, nobody will be able to do. He is going to go to the cross and die for your sin so that you and I can be saved. Now notice, verse 17, the evening cometh, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. I bet Judas thought, how did he know about my secret meeting? Well, Jesus doesn't expose him to the others right now. It's almost like Jesus is giving him an opportunity to back out. Verse number 19, and they began to be sorrowful and said one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? Did you notice there that when Jesus said somebody's going to betray me, everybody did not turn and say, I knew it was Judas. I had my eye on him. Or somebody else pointed one of the others. What did they all say? Is it me? Is it me? And he answered and said unto them, verse 20, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. Verse 21, The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my what? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Jesus, what are you talking about? I bet they thought they do not understand. This is your body, eat. This is your blood, drink. I'm going to shed my blood. This speaks of violence. This speaks of somehow the blood's got to get out. This speaks of something bad is about to happen. And Jesus says in verse 25, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine anymore until I drink it in the kingdom. Well, verse 26, they sang a hymn. And they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus says something strange here. He's already said something strange about his body, something strange about his blood, and now he's going to say something even stranger. He quotes a scripture from the Old Testament in verse 27, And Jesus saith unto them, All of y'all, disciples, are going to be offended because of me this night. For it is written, now get this, I will smite the shepherd. Who is the I? God. God says,
I will smite the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? The Lord Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. God says, I will smite the shepherd. And what happens when the shepherd is struck down? What happens to all the sheep? They scatter. And that's what it says. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. They don't comprehend what Jesus is saying here. Don't ever forget, friends, that though human hands took Jesus, and though human hands nailed Jesus, and human hands speared Jesus, that it was God's plan and God Almighty that wounded him and laid the sin upon him. Laid our sin upon him. That was foreordained. That was God's plan, that he would die in our place. He would be the substitute in our place to pay for our sins. So these are strange words. Verse 28, after that I am risen, again, do they understand what he's talking about here? They don't comprehend that he's going to die and be raised from the dead. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter saith unto him, although everybody shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently. That's Peter. He speaks with fervor. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They all say no, no, no. They do not understand and they contradict the Lord Jesus. They contradict the scripture that he quoted. They contradict their well-meaning, but they think they're loyal, but they really don't even know themselves. You and I have said before things that we meant well-meaning. We felt that we didn't even know our own heart, come to find out. Well, that's the situation here. Jesus tells them he is going to die for the sins. The sins of those who will be saved. He's going to die for many. I'm glad that woman did what she could, but I am glad he did what he could. I am forever thankful that he did what only he could do. Now, I ask you a question in the beginning. What would you do in all these situations? Would you be like the hypocrites, out to get him? Would you be willing, like Mary, to lavishly give to him as she did? Would you be like Judas, ready to betray Jesus? Would you be like the good man that says to Jesus, yes, you can come into my home. You can come in. I will accommodate you. Would you be like the disciples when Jesus said somebody's going to betray me? Would you question your own self? Would you be like Peter and argue with Jesus when Jesus says this is going to happen? And you in your pride and in your arrogance, you'd say, oh no, it won't happen. I would never deny you. And would you be like Jesus, willing to give Himself for enemies that hate Him? How did God show His love toward us? Romans 5:8. But God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies of His, yet He died for us. I'm glad He did what He could. Let's pray.